watching prohibition fall down.
What's up, guys? Doing the girl talk, man. I gotta learn it in Spanish. You know that in Spanish? How do we, you know, multilingual show here?
Yeah, I don't know how to say the girl talk, though. Do you know Spanish better than me, even?
Grow Talk, though, guys. Got a good show coming at you off dudegrows.com with grower questions, comments, all kinds of fun. Going to get into a couple interesting comments on YouTube, which we don't always get into, about the lighting show. Over the weekend, we had a little bit of a lighting episode talking about LED HID lighting and our suggestions and, you know, where we feel you should be going.
We were talking about lighting in general, just lighting.
True. Before we get in, well, I'll give you a quick preview, though. We have some thrips talk coming up, a little bit of IPM and trying to take care of thrips 5 weeks in the bloom. That's kind of a sensitive time. Sometimes your products are kind of limited on what you can use and can't use.
Is thrips not like the gonorrhea of growing? Like, it sucks to get them, but if you're going to get anything, at least get thrips, you know?
And this is titled, Please Fix Me, Nearly in Tears.
Oh, come on, dude.
Try it.
On a very special Dude Grow show.
Microbes and Seedling Mixes. Is that the Lifetime channel?
Yes. Yes, it is.
A little bit of Recharge It Up, a sad seedlings. I think we can take care of that. Oh. And an automated, drying box made out of like a dorm fridge. Let's see if we can wrap our head around it. Get into all this stuff.
This is Guru's department there.
Our DGC membership running strong. Giving away currently the 15th, coming up, 5x5 Gorilla Grow Tent.
Yeah.
Built by growers, for growers. I got one out in the garage. All their tents are great. They have a multitude of sizes. We even have, Scotty says he has a 12x12 at the studio if you want to come pick it up. Are you selling it or are you just hooking it up with the DGC?
What the hell do I know, dude? Everything has its price. Do I want money? No. Do I want something interesting? The original East Coast Sour Diesel cut? Come on, bring it. Bring all offers, man.
And they all, I don't know if all of them do, but the extension on them, it gets you a real nice height. I think it's up to 8 feet. Yeah, I just measured mine the other day. When you get the pop the top kit for them, as well as they're super strong, last a long time. Encourage you to check out Gorilla Grow Tents. I believe I said I would announce next month. I'm just going to do another Spectrum King 400 with the upgraded light engine. So essentially the internals of the 402 rocking. We'll give one of those away for June. Man, we're rocking into the summer here. June 15th. That's the advantage. Anybody can become a winner that's a member. Guys, we just pick it with a raffle. On top of that, members get 30% off recharge, free seeds here now, all the details when you become a member on the homepage under member only deals.
Yeah.
$10 a month. Check it out. Help support the show. It's been going good, man. Scotty, like you said, I get the good feeling seeing some member signups over the weekend.
Absolutely.
And I love it, man. It helps try and keep this more, I don't want to use the word organic because it's overly used. I even heard you had to remove the word organic from Real Growers.
Hey, you can't just say organic in all 50 states now. Oh, my God. You
really? DGC and listener built, guys. Feels good.
Yeah, sure does. Sure does.
Let's see who's growing some dank, man. Let's get into some grow here.
Yeah, come on.
Dude, these auto flowers, popular, man. I mean, they've been popular. I feel like we're seeing more and more in Grow Talk. This is first auto flower run by Wicked Sick Home Grow.
Okay, know something from a Wicked Sick. So that's got to be like a Boston thing, right? Wicked is a
Boston East Coast.
But my point is that these guys just got, when did cannabis become legal to grow in Massachusetts? Not that long ago, right?
Fairly recently, yeah.
Yeah, so you're finding something like to grab an auto, put it in a pot, put it outside or put it under some light and get something out of it. It's pretty fucking cool.
It's a pretty low barrier to entry for autos too, especially because they're really light on nutrients too. So if you're going to be successful with any type of super soil grow, a lot of the times it's going to end up being autoflower.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's check out these dang nugs while I do some narration on here. It was howdy to all DGC. Thanks to the countless hours of streaming the Dude Grow Show, reading comments, taking notes, and learning correct information has played a huge role in my grow. Thank you guys for everything you do. DGC member for life. Oh, man.
Beautiful. It was
now to my grow. My second time growing ever and tried autoflowers. Cushberry seeds I picked up at Cannabis Conference in Boston. Northern Lights came from seedsman.com, grown in a 3-gal radical bag, ocean forest soil, used recharge, of course.
I need more recharge stickers, it looks like.
Along with mammoth pea and a very small amount of ancient earth. and a lot of water. Today makes 71 days in the soil, so it's going to be getting really close to done.
Right.
Thrown under an Optic 2 and Optic 1. Haven't heard of those. I'm learning along the way and mastering my craft. Can't wait to chop them down and throw them in my herb dryer. Dude, this looks good.
Hell yeah, it does. Beautiful.
I'm seeing no sacrifice really. Ooh, he's got the Dude Grows stickers and the Radical Bag Mammoth Pea. Shout out.
Love it.
All right, let's move on. Should we get into Grow Talk Official? Before we do that, actually, I want to do on YouTube, some people brought up a couple good points over there with the lighting show we had. And Evolve commented that growers should not feel discouraged using adequate lighting, meaning we didn't want that to seem like, look, we recommend LEDs that I've grown with or that we feel are the leading industry lights right now to grow indoors with.
Sure.
If you have HID lighting and it's working, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's fine. You don't have to throw that shit out. You're going to have, you just got to be on top of bulb replacement.
Yeah, we're trying to just do pros and cons. And we've all, for a lot of us, we've been using HID lighting since the 90s. I think they developed it in the 80s. So it's very older. It's older technology. As far as it almost reminds me of like a 454, 600 horsepower. You know, it's just a big, a photon workhorse, I guess.
But the future of lighting in all applications of it is going to be solid state lighting, which is LEDs. They have so many advantages over traditional types of lighting.
Right.
And the only disadvantage is the cost that's associated with them.
Sure.
And they're bringing that down. So, for everyone at some point, there's going to be that flip-flop where it makes more sense to have LEDs as these costs keep coming down. But that by no means means that HPS are an inferior, or
they are inferior.
They are inferior, but they're still usable as a grow lamp and awesome as a grow lamp and can grow cup winning weed as a grow lamp. So
yep. And just to go back to my car analogy, there's plenty of four-cylinder I'll go with a four-cylinder turbocharged car that uses half the fuel and can beat a 500-horsepower Mustang from back in the day. You know, it's just the technology has gotten that much better in 20 or 30 or 40 years that we're talking about.
Yeah, and this is if Hortolux was a sponsor, we could hear some more pros and cons. But Hortolux has been a sponsor on and off, and I'll tell you, if you're running HID lighting, I'd run their bulbs.
And I don't know if we can be honest or not with this, but Hortolux wasn't super psyched with us because we're super excited about LED technology. Pardon us for getting excited about the new technology. It's kind of human nature.
No partying needed. This is a good example of why being, more DGC supported than not, is we can talk shiz about whatever we want, which is a good thing to have. But I appreciate the comment, Evolve. One more on here I liked was from the user. He says, remember, people, if you're somewhere cold, the heat from HPS is good. There are situations where you might want to run HPS. It's beneficial as far as a heat situation. So I get that. I appreciate the point there, user.
Well, it makes sense, too. That's why Gavitas run so hot, because they were designed to be used partially as heaters in Dutch greenhouses during the wintertime, where they need that heat load in the greenhouse to help melt snow on the top and just keep the environment in the greenhouse warm. And they factor that into their environmental controls.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, let me get into Grow Talk here off dudegrows.com. This is the automated drying box.
Wow.
Hosted by SoCal Dank.
Does it have a robot?
We're looking at a picture here, guys, of like a mini fridge, I didn't even know they made dehumidifiers that small. Interesting. Let me try and nutshell it. That makes sense. He goes, what up, DGC? I need an honest opinion, and I know this is the place for it. I recently got a temp humidity controller, and a mini fridge. I bet you already know where this is going. Because my apologies for this is a monster post. Now this ain't bad, man. Picking the setup, he's got a fridge to keep temps right, and a small dehumidifier that's meant for a bathroom. So I can figure it can handle a mini fridge. This dehumidifier, guys, is sitting on the shelf of this mini fridge, so it's going to be completely encased in air. Right? Is that what
you're saying,
Scott? What
are we trying to accomplish here? Help me understand that first.
What he's trying to accomplish?
Yes.
I believe he's trying to accomplish a place to do his drying and curing. It says automated drying box. So trying to keep his parameters in check with temp and humidity more on an automated, discrete. Maybe he's in like a little dorm room. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe there's an odor problem, I'm wondering. Okay.
So his concerns are the dehumidifier operates best at the temp of 70. But keeping the temps lower than that, because he's probably going to try and keep the temps around, I'm thinking mid-60s or something for drying. But yeah. Looking at this,
I've never stored anything. Really, it would depend how much you're going to put in there. And then, I don't know, wouldn't you like some kind of air circulation? I remember moving fans below, you know, like it was circulating the air, not blowing directly on the buds, but below and, you know, below the buds and just circulating
you
the
want
air.
Air movement, but no wind.
On the plants itself.
On the actual plants.
Yeah, I think that this would like, it looks like the space here, guys, this is a real small mini fridge. And like if you were hanging one branch, like 12 inches of material maybe, right. But you're going to be, there's not going to be much air movement in there at all. I see you got a fan down there, a little tiny fan, like and micro.
The smaller environment you have, it only gets harder and harder to try and keep that environment exact too.
Yeah, you're reminding me of like trying really to manage to a 10-gal res.
Yeah, yes. It's really hard to keep in the exact same concept. It's really hard to keep parameters in check on something just as you lower the volume, be it the nutrient solution, the liquid, or the air in a drying room.
What about a small
tent? And that fan's going to be... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, what about instead of the fridge, a small tent with a like a can fan or something like that going into a filter as an exhaust, so there's constantly air running through there. You can put on a real low CFM, so it's just slowly cycling air through it and out of a carbon filter.
His only issue there is probably trying to keep it 67 degrees,
right.
The temperature, getting the temperature lower. I guess he's wanting to use a dual purpose. This fridge is the AC and have a dehumidifier in there.
What kind
too.
Of fridge keeps stuff at 68 degrees? Though?
I think he's taken it apart and has kind of played around with the settings of it to. It looks like he has the back taken apart, so it's on a different temperature control.
Sure, I would say just turn your AC down for 3 days that you're drying.
More volume too, like I said. I mean, if you're going to go into this small of a fridge and it's a super sealed environment. Don't leave it. Like, be there to check that your idea is working, of course. And that fan I see in your fridge door is going to hit on. That's
yeah.
too much air movement.
I don't like this. I got to give this the thumbs down. You'd be better off taking a cardboard box and drying them in there.
I used to do it in the.
It smells.
You get those boxes from that to move closet moving boxes.
Sure. Yep.
But then again, because it has a hanger in there or the crossbar to hang all the bud and shit. But I was paranoid because sometimes depending on where you get your boxes and containers from, just like people throw a bunch of cannabis sometimes in these plastic storage containers, but those things smell like shit. Not all the time, but depending, some plastic just sure. off gases sure. like makes me paranoid.
Doesn't smell like shit. It smells like chemicals, sir.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let us know. Let us know how it goes there. SoCal Dank.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Sad seedlings.
Oh,
this is
on,
a pretty. This
happy.
Is a softball.
Let's cheer them up.
This is from Barbell Buds. All recently right. posted about my sad ceilings, and with tips from the DDC and some prior knowledge, I was able to get some more growth out of them. I have them under a 315 ceramic metal halide now, but I'm still getting some yellowing on my new growth. They've been growing consistently since I transplanted, but leaf color still seems to be an issue. I have seedlings in the same tent under a fluorescent that are doing fine. Could it be too much nutrient, too much light, or both? No, no, no. These things look, guys, we're looking at plants that are like a straight, real lime, light lime color. They just look straight hungry to me.
Yeah, they sure do to me, too. And Guru, you're always telling us about how nitrogen is easy, it's a real mobile nutrient, so it's able to move out of the leaves really quickly.
In the older leaves, it'll move out of the older. It can move around the plant, but it generally moves from older growth to new growth.
Okay.
But if you run out of it, you won't have any green growth anywhere.
So when you see you're out of green here, something like this is pretty classic nitrogen. Is that what you would say? Or this is just hungry in general, honestly?
I in all honesty, I would say that this is just like broad spectrum.
Sure.
Just generally hungry.
Sure.
Yeah, great thing. Shout out to at this point, obviously you're going to need to up. Your inputs, a hit with a foliar feed would be a great time. Optic foliar would be an awesome way to get nutrition at this point. They'll green up within, like, I'm not going to say half a light cycle, but a lot quicker than it takes for the nutrition to be accessed through your roots. If you have, I don't know, what did he mention the nutrients he was using?
I don't think so, at least not in the original question, no.
And I went back to the original sad seedlings question, and it says, let's see, it was an organic starter soil. That he was using, and it says his pH stabilized.
So he ran through that whatever nutrients right. was in that starter that soil.
That sounds about right.
And then he said he'll try a light feed when they get completely dry, but would like some aminos, work like fish mix from BioBiz or
They're just hungry, guys. Seems like they're just hungry.
Yeah, yeah. To me, this seems like, and it doesn't seem like he's feeding it too much of anything, if anything.
And you'll learn. That's the number one. I mean, watching your leaves, you can usually, you don't want to wait till you see deficiencies if you can be in front of them instead of waiting to see them. But you'll learn that looking in, as your plant and you develop a relationship, it's nice to look in. Sometimes you can just tell what you need before it becomes a major issue visually. All right, but that took too long on that one, guys. Those leaves you should have known before. All right, before we move on, I'm going to talk about Radical Bags, man. Radical Bags, Garden Gear Supply. These bags, guys, Radical Bags came from the idea, another grower-inspired company, Shane, using the fabric bags. You know, fabric pots, smart pots, those bags have been really popular. Scotty, you see them all over in the nursery industry.
Absolutely.
But wanted to up the game on that and seeing, you know, many of the advantages Radical Bags have over them. And as far as the reusability and the washability, mainly, I just cleaned a couple off the other day. Super easy. You know, you just, because it, nothing adheres to the geotextile to the degree it used to with the fabric pots for me, as well as for newer growers or just in general, maybe you have outdoor plants where you can't control how much precipitation they're getting. It's almost impossible to overwater in these things. There's so much oxygen available to the root zone through the side of these bags. So I'm going to get a hold of Shane and try and get a deal going. I don't know what we should do, Scotty, either DGC outlet, something for the members, but I want to get a grip of these out to some growers so they can check them out.
Beautiful.
And you'll be your grow bag for life, man. So Radical Bags, it's gardengearsupply.com. If you want to pick some up, coupon code DUDE over there, helping out, support, good company, good guy.
Yeah.
Gotta hang out sometime soon, Shane. Too many S's. Sometime soon, Shane.
Yeah. I was thinking about Shane, though. It is cool as a business strategy when you decide, like, you know, fabric bags were out there, fabric pots were out there, but when you decide you're just going to make the best, you're like, you know what? I got a strategy. I'm going to make the best one of these available on the market. And, that's what I think he did.
I'm about to transplant. I got a tomato in a 7-gal radical bag in my indoor grow that right now is about maybe 4.5 feet tall. And I'm about to transplant it like into a 20-gal and put it outside. Ooh. It just throws people for a loop. They're like, what in the hell? Like, what nursery did you get that thing from?
Because
like, nobody has tomato plants that big right now.
No, I'm getting yelled at. I'm late starting our seedlings.
Dear God, Scotty. At this point, you might also just go to the nursery. Skip the seedling step. Go to the nursery.
I got a greenhouse, man. I'm going to put a Gavita in there.
Right. Moving on. What do we got? A little recharge it up, man. Recharge it up question.
We had to bring it back. This is fairly just a softball here. You want to read it or what?
Sure. So the dude hooked me up with some samples, and I gave it the Pepsi challenge. So this is some samples of recharge. Probably sent some stick packs up here in Canada. I've got 6 4-week-old blueberry clones I've been struggling with. The leaves looked like magnesium deficiency or nutrient lockout, et cetera, et cetera. The fact is also my first LED grow. Definitely. Oh, he's using HLD 550 V2. Didn't help. Maybe too bright initially. So I flushed them, raised and dimmed the light and started fresh with higher CalMag and lighter newts. It started looking better. So that's when the comparison started. He says, I let them dry up about 50%. Then I watered 3 plants. With recharge and a half a teaspoon, or just your label rate, I believe.
Yep.
Oh, or he goes to 4 liters of water because I'm Canadian, damn it.
It's a gallon for you.
The other three got nothing. I saw a definite difference in the three that got the juice within 48 hours. The clincher was when my son could see a difference and asked what I did to the three. That's pretty funny. There's your testimonial. The shit works. End of story. So now
thank
the question.
You for that. Unsolicited, sir. Thank you for that, though. I appreciate that. That's how I make my living.
Solicited means that you paid him to say that?
You asked. You solicited him somehow.
No soliciting.
Me.
Says, okay, grow question. I'm growing in Pro Mix with Green Planet, Medi One, One Part, and Massive and Bloom. My guy, that's some good shiz there. My guy at the shop says I should feed plain water every second or third feed. I only heard this for soil growing. What is what I used to say this to a degree. What's your thought on this, and could I use recharge instead of plain water? Let me know, Dave. Yes, your plain water days just turned into your recharge it up days.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I did to mine and had great performance out of it. I do like a plain water day every now and again just because the fertilizer builds up. You hammer them with fertilizer every single time and it does start to build up.
I do no hammering with fertilizer. But yeah, you could do the recharge, a little bit of nutrition, right? I mean, you got the kelp in there. You can figure you're giving like a light feed.
Nah, not really. It's just
not
microbes.
Really.
It's just microbes.
All right, I tried.
What, do you want me to get sued, man?
I was about to say, you probably can't even say, you're probably limited now. Watch what you say.
That's what I mean. The regulators are listening. They're watching.
Thrips by Camo.
Okay, what you got?
Week 5 of flowering. So this is in Thrips by Camo said that. Got to get thrips under control. Please help. 4 weeks into bloom using Ocean Forest, Rainbow Newts, and very small amounts. Foliar spray, Velo Kelp. So it's good to be spraying some kelp on your plants. And Nature's Candy. Just those are some Rainbow Nutrients product. He said the thrips are starting to move near flowers. Smoke is just for me, but I don't want to have too much leaf damage.
Right.
All right. What do you mean? I guess he's saying the thrips are moving their way up. I never really noticed thrips in my flowers, maybe a bit more on fan leaves.
Yeah,
and things,
they do like to get on the fan leaves.
But what do you got? How are you going to take care of thrips, man?
And week 5 is a little bit tough. A little bit earlier, Guru and I were talking about that spinosad. We like that stuff.
I say spinosad.
Spinosad. You're probably right.
Well, doesn't matter. And spinosad for thrips is probably one of the best controls for it.
Right.
There's some predatory bugs that work really well. And then some corresponding contact insecticides you can use with those predatory bugs
right.
and not harm them too much. Like I'm talking and Azadirachtin, and then lace wigs and some types of predatory mites can control thrip populations.
Right.
But sometimes thrips are able to outproduce those predatory controls if they weren't there to begin with.
Sure.
Like when the thrip infestation started. And spinosad works really well, but spinosad isn't, I guess it's not a systemic pesticide, but it does penetrate the plant a little bit, and it
right.
persists for like a week inside of the plant, just the very top layer of it.
It almost does an optic foliar.
Pretty much does like an optic foliar thing, but it is just a like ferment of type of bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
And spinosad.
From the soil, right?
Yeah, a type of soil bacteria. I don't know about in week 5 of flower.
It's late to spray anything. Neem, anything you spray on there is going to affect your taste at week 5. I would be worried about.
So you're going to go beneficials then?
I don't know if you got enough time for them to build up population. You've got to knock those down somehow, you know? That's what I'm thinking. I don't know if you just physically go and shake them.
Because that is one of the controls you can do for thrips is shake them off of the plant.
Yeah.
And they readily fall off pretty easily.
All right, so hold up. The main problem here is 4 weeks into flower, five right. weeks at the point we're talking about it.
Right.
Is don't be in this position. I know it's easy to say now, but if you would have done some treatments with like any type of horticultural oil, neem, some spinosad preventative treatments, I've just never had thrips. They're usually, for me, they haven't been that hard to beat. Maybe right. I haven't let them get out of control. But if you were to do those sprays earlier in flower, I don't think you'd have these right now because they're not that – or had – I don't know if you had any indicator traps out. Those are always important.
I see a blue thrip trap out there.
At the top there.
A few more of those would help too. A lot more of those would help.
I would do – and I'm open to more DGC. I don't know how long into flowering that I would be comfortable using spinosad. It says it's not toxic to humans, but I don't think they do the test on smoking it, whatever.
It's not that it's toxic. It's that it's going to fuck up the flavor of your buds, and I would really be concerned it's going to fuck up the flavor of your buds.
And what is going to fuck up the flavor or growth of your buds more, the thrips or the spinosad?
Yeah.
Use it on don't spray it on your buds. You can spray probably at least 50 to 60% of your plant without hitting the flowers, depending on the canopy and plant structure.
Michelangelo over here, man. You're going to get a paintbrush?
Yes.
I was going to say, if you're trying to get full coverage, and one thing I do want to say with thrips is it's really important to get the underside of leaves. And when you do, and this is for we would have done this earlier, and if we were going to use spinosad, you want to use it once and then follow up 5 days later to clean up the eggs that hatched before they lay more eggs. Just to kind of fall in line with the life cycle of them so that you kill all the different stages of the thrips.
Yeah, go through that.
With the spinosad when you can.
Yeah, and that's because a lot of these things will kill the adults, but they won't kill the eggs. So what happens is you kill the adults, and 3 days later, the eggs pop up with fresh adults and, with fresh bugs, and, the cycle continues. So it's really important to break that cycle and kill the adults and then kill the eggs.
Yeah, and if you're not in a huge rush and you have the means, such as my old grow when I had a mini split, like oversized mini split, you could really cool down the room too for a couple days while you're doing some of these treatments, and it will break it, depending on their temperature parameters for breeding, really slow them down.
Yeah, just think about that. Think about in the middle of winter. You're fucking slowing down, especially if you're in an igloo or something like that. You know what I mean? If you're outside, you're freaking slowing down. You bring it up to 60, 70 degrees or 70, 80 degrees, it becomes really active.
Yeah,
you know,
where's the population problem? In Antarctica with the North Pole in that or the equator? Come on.
Well, I mean, and insects, I mean, they're cold-blooded like creatures.
Yeah.
So the ambient temperature or how much sunlight they're sitting in really functions how fast their metabolisms are going.
And they're breeding.
And in turn, yeah, directly related to how fast their metabolism is going is how fast they can breed and go through their life cycle.
I agree.
So if you lower the temperature, you're going to lower the amount of life cycles that there are.
You slow it down. You're slowing them down. So even if you had an infestation, the lower the temperature, the slower that you're going to slow their life cycle down. And that's why I was worried about when y'all were talking with LEDs, bringing it up to in the 80s. If you have a bug infestation and you're in the mid 80s, get ready for that thing to take the fuck off, man.
Except for you got to realize a lot of bugs operate on the leaf surface and not in the ambient air. So leaf surface is really what matters for most bug species. That's the environment that they're actually in, not the ambient air.
Look at Guru with the good rebuttal there. I like it.
I'm going to move on to please fix me nearly in tears.
Oh, okay, man. First thing you got to do is just change that shirt, okay?
Ask a grower. Because, hey, everybody, I just started my first grow not too long ago and having some serious problems here. I'll attach any and all information I have to go off of, but I'm lost here. So far, I've dropped close to $1,000 on this endeavor. I really wanted to succeed at first, but after getting information from growing podcasts that may or may not be correct and getting shit from the owner of a grow store for messaging him on a Saturday. I've been there, man. I've been in my grow on the weekend or on a holiday where you're like, dude, I gotta know what, I gotta figure this out. Like, there's a problem here. But your grow store guy should have been nice to you.
Absolutely.
Especially if you spend some money. So maybe it's because I see you got some grow supplies off Amazon. He's pissed.
Oh, yeah, that could. Let's see what's going on.
If you're that guy that goes into the grow store to get advice and goes buys your shit offline, they will get mad at you.
Yes, they will.
All right. So, and add to that, dealing with low temps as well as super low humidity, 20% without a humidifier, I'm just about ready to start crying here. Nobody wants to see a large, tattooed, hairy man do that.
Right,
or just give up altogether. I'm getting spots, droopy leaves, everything's pretty well fucked here. One guy told me to feed the plants a compost tea or nutrient. Another tells me just to lay back and try not to overwater and check pH. And again, I just don't know what to do anymore. So looking at your, I think your grow, you know, your lighting looks fine. In the comments here, we can kind of figure out what's going on. Guys, we're looking at pretty pissed plants.
Yeah.
Leaf tips look
a
little jacked.
Is this a pH problem, man? This is what happens when pH is off. I don't know. What's going on here?
Yeah, we found out in the comments that he was watering in at 8.8 pH. And then Maestro calls out that one leaf showing the spotting, a calcium issue, and he's growing in an amended soil. So I'm thinking that if he could add some liquid CalMag for calcium. I mean, some plants are more like calcium needs are different. What do we consider calcium and cannabis? That's why a lot of companies make like a supplemental CalMag and whatnot to their nutrient regimens if they find a plant that needs more than what's in their base nutrients.
Absolutely.
Calcium and sulfur are used by the cannabis plant in way greater numbers than all the other micronutrients, almost to the point that you can consider them macronutrients. And calcium and sulfur are also both really important for the formation of secondary compounds that the plant makes too.
Dude, I love the name of his soil. It's called Bud Mud. Budmud.ca. But looking at your plants there, I think you could have had a little overwatering issue. He was watering in at 8.8, I believe.
That's crazy high pH.
Yeah, and it was unknowing. So pH issue here, calcium issue here.
Calcium issue brought on by the pH issue.
Yeah.
Because calcium is not available at that high of a pH.
He's locking things out here.
So it's starting to lock things out. If we get this pH corrected and supplement some calcium, and you could foliar, calcium's pretty mobile, getting in through the leaf. So you could foliar your CalMag too, and could get some greening up from that and try and fix it while you fix it in the soil at the same time. But the main thing you want to eliminate is the watering in your water at pH 8.8.
And if you don't use something that would be good for this, for example, if you don't want to use like a pH down or, and you're in this living soil mix, I mean, just using a little bit of a, like a fish fertilizer, a little basic two or something low on the MPK. Sometimes I found is a good pH down due to the acid that's in that to preserve like fish products, fish fertilizer.
Right.
And it's not going to hurt your regimen. Just adding a little bit, you know, a teaspoon here and there, your plants will enjoy it. Some other microbe food.
It has phosphoric acid in it, which is actually what most commercial pH downs are made out of.
Right.
Anyways. And it's in there as like a dual purpose thing where it's stabilizing pH and for the fish fertilizer. And it's also kind of to keep that smell down.
Yeah, and watch. I'm not sure what that soil bud mud, which I like, but try and watch when your nutrition might eventually run out. I can't tell if these plants are too getting too big for their containers either. I don't know if those are 1 gallons or what they are, but yeah, I think with your pH and a few more waterings and add some microbes to your mix, man, get some microbes up in there, you'll be good to go. Sass grower, looking at him rock out on the drums here.
Yeah, you don't want to misspell that bud mud, get you in trouble with Google.
What, bud mud?
Bud mud. You figure it out. One letter is all you need to change.
All right. We have one mole grow talk question. Come a little on, bit of what's man. Going on in my grow.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. This is baked PWN, Pacific. No, that's PN. What do we got there?
Baked PWN, I got.
All right. Microbes and seedlings and mixes. So messing around with some Mephisto autoflowers. They're in solo cups with Light Warrior, and next stage is 5 gallon smart pots with 50-50 Happy Frog and Light Warrior. I see that Recharge and most microbe products don't burn, but are there too many microbes? It's redundant to have Great White, Recharge, and Mycos. Do I add Recharge? And then like when the seed pops through the, wait, do I add Recharge? Like when the seed pops through the ground. I don't know what he's saying there. Necessarily, I guess, mean when the seed just comes up. Your seedling right. pops through the top layer. I've been told to dust with Great White when I do a transplant. Do I do the same with Recharge?
All right. Let's get into it. Thank you for all the softballs here. This is nice.
Are there too many microbes? Yeah, you don't need to use Great White and Recharge. You're going to be crossing over there like with whatever.
Yeah, and you can use too much of it as well. Any, you know, I don't know about Great White, but Recharge has got molasses in there. It's got kelp in there. So although those are not active plant, you know, what the kelp's a micronutrient and molasses is a plant food. You don't want to be dumping some crazy extreme amount on a...
Too much molasses or humix can clog root pores and stop nutrient uptake.
Yeah, seedlings are delicate. The reason they tell you to dust with like a great or Great White or something like that, they're trying to get, there's an endomycorrhizae, which is this fungus that coats the roots. And if you get it, just like we were talking about those strips earlier, that once they get out of control, it's hard for the beneficials to come in and get a foothold. Well, what we want to do is we want to coat this roots with a beneficial fungus. So we use the mycorrhizae, and it's a beneficial that way. If a pathogenic fungus wants to come in, it can't get to it. These roots are coated. You do that when the roots are really small, when the seedling first pops. Now, whether you do that when the seed first pops the first day or on day 10, it really doesn't matter. Recharge has endomycorrhizae in it, so long way of answering the question. You really wouldn't need to use Myco or Great White if you're using Recharge.
I'd use Myco as a transplant. I like it. It's a granular mycorrhizae.
It's mycorrhizae, though. I mean, why would you do that when you can have a liquid mycorrhizae and Recharge? It's going to invaginate the roots. It's just duplicitous, and if you're worried about spending money, it's dumb.
And in terms of surface area, it's a lot easier to get a liquid to completely cover something than relying on water coming into the soil on a dry powder and getting even coverage.
All right, man. And ending that question, I'd say if I use Recharge 5, 6, 7 days after the seed pops, I give it a little bit of time to pop and get up, sprout those dicot leaves. Guru, you say you use it early?
I use it as soon as I see roots for the most part. Okay. But you're probably not going to notice a huge performance increase, mainly because the plant, although it's focusing its energy on growing its root or its primary root, but it's not really focused. It's getting most of its nutrition from
there. What do you mean still, as soon as you see roots?
From the seed that it popped from.
Seeing roots is relevant to the size of the container. I mean, most people start in a pretty small container, but you wait until you see roots at the bottom or something. What do you mean?
No, when the plant, as soon as the plant pops, there's a root.
Gotcha.
I'm just saying, don't roll it the way you would with just a pure endomycorrhizae. Don't just roll it and recharge. Wait and use the power of the liquid to get it all on the roots, but give it a couple days for those roots to sprout.
Right on. I'll give it before we put it in the bag, quick update on my grow because it's about to go again. I went in my little, I won't call it a seed vault because I don't have enough cool shit to have a vault, like Duke Diamond's vault. But I did find a pack of my Walter White, and I still have six of these feminized left. So I'm going to pop these because I got a good area for them. I'm going to do them outdoors. They finish in about 80 days. I'm just going to do them in some 5 gals, like on a little balcony.
Nice.
So it'll be secure from the animals, the people. Because don't deer get down on cannabis pretty well if they find it?
Yeah, they sure will.
Raccoons like cannabis too?
It's funny. I got a call from the bamboo. One of my bamboo customers. It's like, what's eating my bamboo? And how can I stop them?
Dude, speaking of a description here, because I always talk about how, you know, like how Duke Diamond on the back of his seed pack has a really good description on how to help you as a grower grow that plant. Some packs have nothing but fancy artwork to try to be the coolest pack.
Well, they're also worried for legal reasons. I think they're concerned about that.
True. On the Festo's site, let me read a little here. It goes, strain behavior and structure. Walter White is a character. She can start growing with a little slowly and oddly during the first 10 days, which is good to know because you might be concerned, like, why is it looking like? Just wait a minute. It goes, but after week 2 from sprout, she normalizes and goes hell for leather with lots of vigor. What is goes hell for leather?
It's just some weird ass fucking saying from back in the day. I have no idea what it means.
Anyway, I'm getting stoked, man. I just Google around, you know, how you shouldn't do that. But looking at some of these pictures of Walter White out there and the trichome production looks fabulous. So we'll see. I will keep you in the loop.
I'm going to have to do a couple of these autos.
Do you have any auto seed stock in hand, sir, currently?
I don't. I might need to hit up the Autoflower Network, see what they got.
Are you really – I'm going to kick it over at Seeds here now. I'm going to recommend Mephisto myself. They seem to be – well, there's some more companies coming on board. I haven't looked in a while, but I know Mephisto's got some hot gear, man. Fire. Yeah,
they always have. I don't say always have, but they've got a great reputation.
And then you're literally – were you just joking around like you're going to plant some tomato and pepper veggie seeds now?
I'm thinking it over.
I cheated, man. I got some tomato seeds and this and that. I'm the kind of guy, though, that sometimes I just go to the nursery and look for the most mature one.
Sure.
I don't lie about it, though. I don't say I popped it from seed. Anyway. All right. Let's put it in the bag, man. Do some shout-outs for Dow.
Yeah. This one's interesting. Out with the fake 420. Shout-out to you. And smoking stacks. Interesting.
Give it up to Fire Farmers and Rizo Rich.
Yeah. How about Shaggy the Chef and OG Hempire?
The Dizzy Grower and Canadian Weed Man.
Yeah. How about Be Patient? Shout out to you, brother. And Spartan Grown. All right.
All right, guys. Stay higher. Peace out. And I think we need to go talk. Actually, I think I need to do a little more caffeinated today.
You need to smoke more weed.
I'm just wearing that I'm calmer than you, and it's soaking in.
Thanks, out, man. Some people love to blaze up the tank. Yeah, we get happy for noon. And when the boss man says to take a little break, that means we lighten up a dude. It's just weed. It's just weed. I like to keep a good buzz on. It's just weed. It's just weed. In my toolbox there's a bone. Some people start their day off with a pill. It's what the doctor says to do. They shake their heads at natural medicine. Go ahead and try something new. It's just weed. It's just weed. Let's keep the good vibes on. It's just weed. It's just weed. I like to smoke it out in
wonder why he hates the tank. Just look at how he's being paid.